See, when it's something can be legally done and you experience it later. When you buy a house, it's like that. You legally sign for the house on paper, and then you experientially move into the house. It's two different steps. You cannot have the experience if you don't have the legality done. You would have been an illegal alien in that house. You can see that. So that's the same way. Jesus dealt legally with our sins. And then when you accept that and you experience what he legally did, you experience freedom, joy, and all those things. That is freedom from sins. On the other side, from Romans chapter 5, verse 12, to Romans chapter 8, right to verse 39, it is freedom from sin. Sin, singular. And so the first part of it, he deals with the legal part, how Jesus has cut off our lineage with Adam. The old man was cut off, destroyed legally. And then the ending part talks about the experience of that freedom from sin, singular. Yes. You waving a fly? Okay. Okay. You started all this, you say we have to define sin, right? Okay. So, now, we're enjoying ourselves here. Freedom from sin. S-I-N. Now, freedom from sin is also experienced, and you can see that the experience of freedom from sin, singular, is harder than the experience of freedom from sins. Right? Freedom from sins is what everyone rejoices. Say, oh God, He has forgiven me. Thank you. And we experience peace and joy. And in Romans, it seems straightforward. The love of God shared abroad, the peace of God, justification by faith. Hallelujah. But when you talk about freedom from sin, singular, you have Paul himself struggling. I will to do, I will not to do, I choose not, I this or that, and he struggles. Because he's trying to actualize the experience of what is legally done for him. That is why he says statements that are very confusing. Sometimes Romans 7, can we show it on the transparency? Romans 7, he says things like this. He says, in verse 12, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and just and good. Romans 7, verse 12. Then he says in verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, singular, that it might appear sin, singular, was producing death in me, to what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Wow. Confused. Right. Confucius not welcome here, he's not born again yet. Excuse me. And it says, sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now that phrase is very important. That phrase is very important. Think about it. Sin, that it might become exceedingly sinful. Now, here's a wonderful thing. When mud becomes mud to you, you don't want it anymore. Can you see that? For example, if I came from the background of a tribal person, and I'm used to having things done in one room. Your toilet is there, your washing is there, and the floor is dirty and unhygienic. You don't boil your water. And all those things. If I live in those conditions and I know no better, and I've never taken a bath except maybe once in a while when you're caught in a rainstorm, I would never know what the cleanliness habits are like. But you take that person up, put him in a westernized society with all the conveniences, where you bathe sometimes more than one time a day when you feel dirty, and you clean yourself constantly. You wash your hands before you eat. You clean yourself constantly, and you don't keep mud and dirt and toilet things in the same place as your kitchen things. Right? You separate them hygienically, and your standards of physical cleanliness are so different. And of course, you'll probably be much more healthier. Now, if the person has no knowledge of that, they wouldn't know. But if the person is taken out, and then he's kept in that environment, and then he goes back, he begins to realize, I didn't realize what an awful pigsty my home was. Until that experience. Now, that phrase is important. That sin might become exceedingly sinful, because that is the key to your freedom from sin. The only reason people fall into sin is not because they see sin as sin, but they see sin as good. That's the only reason. And the only way Satan can get you to fall is to deceive you, to show forth that what he's about to offer you is something good for you. So the whole basis of sin and falling into sin is that sin looks good. If sin looks bad, you wouldn't want to go near. I've just given you a little secret of the victorious Christian life. How to make sin look bad and make God and commandments of His Word look good. If you could succeed in doing that, you will be free from sin. That is a process that we're going to talk about in this series. Now, that process of it becoming sinful is important. Because there are things that slowly appear to you. The light slowly dawns on you. And like one Sunday school song says, things I used to do, I do them no more. Things I used to say, I say them no more. You change. That's the process. Now, Paul understood this process and his struggles. And look at what he says. He's trying to experience freedom or deliverance from sin, singular. And it's a tougher thing. It's a tougher thing. And that's what he ends up saying in verse 15. What I am doing, I do not understand. What I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present for me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. This is the person who is trying to experience freedom from sin. Nature. It's different from experiencing freedom from sins. That's you just receive the cleansing of the blood. But getting free from the nature of sin is a whole different process. Now, here's where the secret of the Christian lies. So the question, can a Christian be free from sin and sins? The answer is yes, instantly for sins, and yes, progressively for sin, as I am. That is the scriptural question. To be or not to be, that is the question. Got you there. To be or not to be holy. Okay. Now, we're going to conclude with one little verse that will give you understanding. Now, the main key, remember, the main key to the experience of freedom from sin nature is in this verse here, that sin might appear exceedingly. Can we go back to that verse there? Just further up in chapter 7, verse 13. That sin might appear exceedingly sinful. That is the secret. And do you know that is a process? It is a process for us to begin to see through the eyes of God. Right? As you begin to see through the eyes of God, the things that are bad, you begin to give them up. And that is the secret to experiencing that. But I'll close with one little verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And I'd like to read to you from the Greek version to show you that there is a mistranslation in our English Bible. Can we show that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 again? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And in your normal King James Version, 1 John 3, verse 8 and 9. Let me read from your normal King James Version first. 1 John 3, verse 8 and 9. And it tells us here, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Then in verse 9, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Now the word in verse 9, "cannot sin," is not correctly translated. Okay? Because it looks like impossible to choose to sin anymore. But we all know that the choice will always be there. As long as you have free will, the choice will be there. But how the choice is handled. Now, how the choice is handled is important. Remember just on the phrase that sin might appear exceedingly sinful? One of the secrets is this. Why this redemption that Jesus has made for us is permanent for eternity. That even though you're free from sin and sins, and this whole old body is put away, got a new body, and you're totally, sin is totally eradicated, one of the reasons why we will never fall again is this. Because we have been taken on the nature of Christ so much. So that all sin becomes painful. You will never, ever, for a zillion Googleplexes of years, choose sin. God did something. No, that is why the Adam's race was exalted above the angels. You know why? The angels have not partaken of the nature of Jesus like you and I have. And the Bible says we are all predestined to be like Him. We are born of Him. And we have tasted in Him what sin is horribly like. You will never taste God. Many of us have that experience, you know, of things. Like a little child, you're curious, you know. What's that thing, you know, like that touch? Ah, it's fire. I can assure you, you'll never go near again. Jesus imparted the experience to us in His nature so that sin feels the way sin should feel. And for eternity, you will never want, even though you can still choose. Like if you ask some of you don't drink. Like I don't like drinking. I don't like the taste of alcohol. I don't like the taste. It probably is an acquired taste. And most people get into alcoholism because of their friends around them. Or they just got no way to drown out the pain in their life. There's physical pain, but there's internal pain or loneliness. So they drown out their sorrows with drink. Actually, alcohol doesn't taste nice. It's not like some nice grape juice that we drink today. Doesn't taste nice. So I never tasted it. First, of course, my father was strict to me. But the other thing is, have you tasted it before? Yes, I never like it. Never like it. And was never in that position to indulge it. And most people acquire addiction to it because they have an acquired taste. It tastes nice to them. You ask any alcoholic, it smells and tastes nice to them. And that is what God is going to change. So that it doesn't feel nice to you and you're free. Because who would want to taste those things that doesn't taste nice? Right? Or some of my experimental cooking, right? Turns up black as charcoal, bitter than the bitter herbs in the Bible, right? You wouldn't want to eat my cooking anymore. Right. So, anyway, 1 John, the word cannot needs to be explained. And I'll close with that. 1 John 3 verse 9. The Greek says differently. It says here, "Anyone that has been begotten of God does not practice sin because his seed is in him and abides in him. And here is the word not able. It is the word kai udunatai hamatanain. Which the word dunatai, which is from the Greek word dunamis, which forms the ability to sin.